I was getting to
my Bible, but
oh well.
Put it on your lapel, Pastor.
So it'll pick up the sound.
All right. Oh, mercy.
Here, I'll leave this with you.
Thank you.
I have to use the day Bible because I didn't bring my eye drops and I can't see the little tiny Bible. So, we can turn to Ruth. We haven't talked about Ruth for a while. Ruthie. We don't have any Ruths in here. That's amazing.
Okay. No, we can spit one out. One of these people can.
Spiritual Ruth.
Pardon?
Spiritual Ruth.
Where's Ruth in this big Bible? I need some place to put this thing. Hold it. Okay, there we go. Okay, where's Ruth? There you are. Ruth is before Judges, isn't she? Or she
right after Judges.
There we go. I got stronger glasses, but there you go. I'm going to look at Ruth in a different angle today. Ruth was like the church in some ways, and I'm going to point that out. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to the sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And what's Elimelech mean? You remember?
Dr. Arnold.
It's okay. That's all right. We don't have to know at the moment. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahalon. How do you say that? Chilion. Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Moab was obviously a country of non-Jews. They were worshippers of gods. But they had to dwell there about 10 years. And poor Ruth, well, she did get a daughter-in-law, a couple of them, but all the men died. Well, we all know that story. The men died. And then she arose with her daughter-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. So in the bad way they were in, they had to go somewhere else and get bread. So Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go and return to your mom's house. Go to return to mommy. The Lord deals kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. They didn't want to depart from her. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Oh no, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them all this time till they are grown? Would you stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughter, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone against me." Now she is obviously a very, very unhappy, sad woman. Wouldn't we all be, ladies? But she had very faithful daughter-in-laws, and she was very kind to them. And I see in this story a picture of Israel. Ruth is a picture of Israel. And that her daughter-in-laws are a picture of the church today. The church of Jesus Christ has been and will be that which brings Israel back to the Lord. And her daughter-in-laws, even though Ruth took them home and they became as her, one of them came and brought her a son by marrying Boaz. And Boaz is a type of Jesus. But the reason I will bring this up today is because I believe with all my heart that we're in that time, in the season of the church restoring Israel back to God, that we are that part, especially the United States, has a big part in that. And I really am impressed with what's happening in the East and in Israel with all the countries realigning and making peace accords. It's just a miraculous time that we live in. It is an extremely miraculous time. Now Boaz married Ruth, and Ruth had a son, of course, and Jesus came out of that lineage. And then Jesus and his church are going to... Jesus is not leaving Israel. Israel's not out of the picture. There is a lot of people who believe that Israel is no more. That Israel is the... how would you put it? Their passé. That the church has taken the place of Israel. But we know in Scripture that that isn't true. That Jesus is returning. And he's returning the same place in Israel. He's returning that very same place that he walked down with that donkey into Israel that week before he left. He's returning there. But my heart is that we, as a church and as the United States, we are having a part in that. We are like glue. And I've noticed that people in this nation, like Gilliam, the man who was a mayor in our city, he was so opposed to Israel, he wanted Tallahassee to boycott Israel. He hated Israel. I don't know why he did. But we all know what happened to Gilliam. It was something that was on my prayer list for a long, long time. I just asked the Lord, please open that man's eyes. Cause him to repent. And I believe he will repent. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't think he's repented yet. I heard some other things, but we have a part. You know, there was one time when Tallahassee was a sister city to Jerusalem. And that was about 10 years ago or so. Or maybe it was longer. I can't remember the exact dates. But it's important to know that we as the United States have a place in what God is doing in Israel. An important place, obviously. What Trump has done has been a key point to what God is doing. And I'm really concerned that we will continue, hoping that we will continue, whatever the result of the election is, that we will continue to be a friend of Israel. And it's very important because I believe that that's our place as a nation. That's one of our main purposes as a nation, is to be a light to the world and to be bring back and bring restoration to Israel. So
anybody has any comments you'd like to make?
It's interesting that the Philistines in the Old Testament, some parallel with the Palestinians today and their hatred for Israel. And it's noteworthy that all the other countries were bypassing the Palestinians to the other countries in an effort to bring them in.
Right.
So.
We shall see what happens.
We shall see.
We shall see. It's really important, and it's important for our prayers to be praying about that. It's real important. I'm really concerned about prayer points tonight because we're at a critical hour in every way. The church is in a critical hour. Our nation is in a critical hour. The harvest is getting ready to explode. And we need people to gather the harvest. We need to be a body here that we can be a refuge, as the Lord said tonight. We need to be there, a place of refuge for those who come in. And that's very important. And we need to understand our importance as we gather together. We can't forsake the gathering together, as the devil would like this whole country to be forsaken as far as going to church. You know, he's tried to stop that. He's trying to, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's just final. That's the final word. Final word. But we do need to pray. We do need to pray that whatever administration is working, that all that will not be lost. It will not be, that it will be according to God's plan and our blessing to be a part of bringing the Jews back to Jesus. The amazing thing is it was exactly 2 years this week that I went to Israel. And the amazing thing to me was unbelievable amount of buses, busloads of people from all over the world, but I mean more than from the United States than any other country. But there were a lot of countries. And it's just a sign of the time. It's that understanding of what time clock we're on. And that's a real key to what's happening in our country, what's happening in the body of Christ, and with the harvest. And it's a very exciting time, but it definitely is a very challenging time. That's why I've got my Israel thing up here today. Mm-hmm. I just want to tout out that we have to really pray that the United States stand, because we want to be a blessed nation. We want to bless Israel. We want to see God use Christians from our country as well as others to make them jealous, to bring back and bring them back to their Messiah and help be a part of that. And so many of our television stations and so many of our radio stations from America are going to Israel and to the Outer Banks, where all of the Asian nations are being actually flooded with the gospel right now, which is an amazing, amazing thing. Even China, they're selling their airways for whoever buys it, whether they're Christian or not. Isn't that incredible? I mean, who knew that they would? That it's just divine intervention. It really is. Because if they really realized what was coming across the airways, they probably wouldn't allow it. But God is making a way where there seems to be no way. And God needs to continue to make a way in our country. Whatever happens in our election, we need to pray that we continue to be that blessing and to be to play God's part that he intended us to play in restoring and bringing Israel to our Messiah back. Hello? That's a big part of bringing our Messiah back. And I really think that Ruth is a major picture of that, because she was a Jew who went to a foreign country, but God took her back, and it was very much a part of unsaved people, non-Jewish people, that delivered her the line for the Messiah. And that was, the whole picture is just intertwined with God is redeeming the whole earth, not just Israel. But this time clock today is very essential, because if anything tells us where we are in history, it's Israel. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I personally do, until God changes my mind. Anybody else have another opinion? And why? Y'all, do you believe that, Aaron? That we're a part of bringing Israel's restoration back? This nation?
This nation? No. Not particularly this nation.
No, not particularly, but we have a big part.
The church has a part in restoring Israel.
Yes.
And I would not make it exclusive to this nation, but I would make it...
No, I don't think it's... I don't mean exclusive, but I do believe that that's part of our destiny.
God can certainly use the United States to help restore Israel.
But he already is using the United States to help restore Israel.
That's my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion.
Yeah. Well, don't you agree he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
I figured you would agree, as always.
That's why she asked you.
Well, no, I didn't know if he'd agree with the whole thing, but you said, I think he will, and I think he already is using. I mean, it's
no, he has used the U.S. to restore Israel. Yeah, that's historically proven.
Right. That's all I'm saying. And I think that we have a continued role in that. We're not finished. We're not, because I do believe that we have that's a prophetic look at, the church and Jews coming together. Jew and Gentile coming together. Yes, Michael?
The Messianic Jews are starting to get more active. That was about 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I went to a service down here it was Christianity then, and they had a guy that was a Messianic Jew, and they're the ones that are going to help us get into the, is it Orthodox Jews? I don't know, Dr. Thomas.
They could be conservative Orthodox.
Yeah, or the whatever the many sects, say, right? And it just blew me away that they're the ones we're looking for to minister the word so that they can go back to their country and carry the gospel.
Well, I do believe that there are a lot of people in this country who are they're encouraging other people to boycott companies, to boycott them, and a lot of these people are Jewish, which I don't get. I don't understand why they don't understand their history or why they would be against Israel. Except for that they're just of a wrong spirit, of an Antichrist spirit. But what Ruth did, when she was able to come back as Israel, is coming and being restored, she was also restored in a very special way that was very, touches the heart of most mothers, actually. She was able to even nurse her grandson. We don't do that in this culture so much anymore. Although, when I was nursing, I had some friends like you all here, and sometimes we nursed each other's babies because we had to, for various reasons. But it's not practiced so much here. Well, hey, wet nursing is wet. Well, all my circle of friends when we have this circle of families, we were all nursing, and sometimes, one mom was in church and one baby was screaming down in the nursery and hey, I'm available here, We didn't do it all the time, but it is what it is.
The nurse may have that milk that tastes like roast chicken. So they just pass around the Bible.
Let pastor tell the story.
Yeah, I don't know what mine tasted like. I never tasted it, but never mind. We won't go there. Oh, anyway, there are some stories, right? Stories that go that. So, I want to bring our attention tonight to praying and to what we need to be praying, that our neighbors and our friends, when things get rough, and they're going to get a little rough here not too long. I mean, I think that they're going to smooth out for a time being, but that we're going to have an opportunity to minister to our neighbors and people that may come in here, and maybe that's why the words that the Lord said that today, to specifically, that there are going to be a lot of people, you know, that are going to be needing some assurance. And I know I'm preparing to do something in my neighborhood if I'm still here when all this, a lot of stuff happens. And I think we need to be prepared to be, even at home, to be what the Lord said, not just here at the church, but that we will have opportunities to be a refuge at home. Because personally, I believe that we are going to have home churches. I don't know how soon that's going to happen, but I think that the church will be scattered for a little while, somewhere a time. And I think that a lot of us will be alive, because every single one of the people in this church are leaders. And God, you know, we're about training, ordaining, and sending out. And so we're going to have to start sending out, and God's going to start sending us out. And out might mean, might look like home churches for a little while. I'm pretty convinced that there's going to be a season for that. I believe there'll be a coming back, and I've said that before. But I really want you all to be praying about that, praying what He wants you to do, and what God's doing. That's why He called us to that secret place. That's what He said. He wants to train us and ordain us to be sons and be the manifested sons and carry it out. And that's really important. That word has resonated all through this year to me in every way. I've heard it everywhere I've gone in different flavors. But it's very important that we understand that we still need to be in that secret place with the Lord. As a matter of fact, the other day I said, Lord, what does your secret place look like? Am I dwelling in your secret place? And has anybody thought about asking that? You know, am I in there? Am I dwelling in your secret place? Am I doing what I need to do to prepare? You know, are we getting from you what we need? And that is also to be in the Word, because there's a time coming. You know, as soldiers, we are using the Word, our sword, but there's a higher call, and that is using the scepter, and that is a higher place, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and using the authority He's given us to rule and reign. And that is where He's taking us. That's where He's taking us. And we are, there is a certain time to be foot soldiers and a certain time to move into the higher ground. I believe that's hundredfold. I believe that's manifested sons. And I believe that He's taking us there. But we have to be available and be willing and lay down our lives for that. We have to take up our cross and follow Him, and be willing to give up whatever it is we think is making us comfortable or happy, or, you know, because God's preparing us to be ruling and reigning, not always foot soldiers. And this is really what He's been dealing with me about, saying, you need to come and take the authority that I've given you to rule and reign with me. And that looks different than just being a foot soldier. It looks different. It's hundredfold. And this is what He's trying to prepare us for. And we all have to put our effort into it to do for that. It's important. And I really don't know what that effort is. If anybody has an idea of what it looks like for you and you want to share, I'd be happy to hear what's changed in your life and pressing in for in the secret place, and how you've changed your life and it's changed you, or what you're doing different to press into God. Does anybody want to take a stab at that?
Secret place.
Yes. What does it look like to you, Dr. Tellers? What does it mean to you?
I can only tell you from experience.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
The secret place is when your mind, will, and emotions come into such laser-type focus, that the presence of God becomes overwhelming. Natural light doesn't even compare with it. It doesn't compare with it. And it isn't a once-in-a-time thing. Everybody here can go into the secret place. The beauty about God is that he's infinite in his persona. He is infinite in his way he will come to you. One way, he'll come to you in different ways in that secret place. You can never get bored.
You could never get bored. I thought you said more.
Because he's
that's true.
The variety is infinite.
That's so true.
And so, light, presence, it's blinding.
Yes, it is. I need to.
What?
I need to get my
dog.
Notebook over here. I'd like to read that word again and think about it. What's changed for you with the Lord? How have you pressed in? If you want to share.
Sure.
If anybody wants to share.
I love kids.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I didn't.
If I can love kids as much as Sharon loves children.
I know that is absolutely a miracle.
I love all the kids.
Anybody else want to share how things have changed as you have pressed into the secret place? Megan shared a little bit about some of her experience last week. And I had that experience similar to that when I was on my vacation. And it was life-changing, never be the same.
I would say my perspective has changed. When I understood that, you know, God wants us to participate in the spiritual and not just like in the natural kind of to get to the spiritual, but he actually wants us to participate with him in the spiritual, that shifted a perspective. It is kind of mind-blowing that, wow, you know, we can actually participate in the spiritual with him, in his will, and that it just brings power. It's very powerful.
It's not an abstract thought that you have to keep feeding yourself. It's an actual moving into an experience.
And it's truth.
Right. I'll let Aaron have the next, since you already had a turn.
For me, the secret place for me with the Lord is when I put my head on his chest. And I don't know how else to describe it than that. But it was about, the change for me is about a year and a half ago. One of the prophetic words that I got, he called me his friend. And he told me about a year and a half ago, he said that, I've called you my friend, but now you will be my son and you will call me father. And so since that time, it's been a shift in my perspective and in my approach and my understanding of him, to instead of seeing myself as a servant, as a slave, as a friend, somebody who can go in and go out, to see myself as his son. Yes.
Abiding,
exactly. That's exactly right. Just like with the prodigal son, mm-hmm. who coming back, you know, just like with me, if I mess up or stuff, I feel like I'm supposed to be with the pigs. He's like, no, you've been forgiven, come into my house. And it's funny because I messed up at one point last week and I was feeling down on myself. And he said, why are you calling what I mean holy, unholy? Just like what he had told Peter with the unclean animals. He says, don't call unclean what I have cleaned.
Amen. We all need to remember that too, because the enemy's always wanting to tell us about our failures and convince us that we have failures that we don't even have.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the, you know, it's bad enough our failures, but the ones that he's trying to convince us of that we have, you know, that we have failed God and God's not pleased. And he doesn't talk to me that much, as much as he used to before, but he still talks to me about that, you know. And
he's trying to make me feel condemnation for something I did when I was 8.
That's why your sermon was so powerful about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it.
Awesome. How about anybody else want to share? Natalie, you have anything you want to share?
I think, for me, it's been a perspective change that I can draw my peace and my security from him. Like, it's something that I've always known in my head, but that my children, I can't rely on them to give me peace. I can, in the midst of the chaos of being around my kids, I can still be at peace, you know, or even, you know, I look to Justin to be a provider, but he's not my provision.
Right.
You know, so it's just a different way of looking. And it's something I'm constantly practicing, is keeping my secret place is relying on God and
yes.
Stop looking to, you know, the people around me or the world around me. That he's my provision, he's my peace, he's my, you know, comfort, he's my security, he's my all.
That's a major change mm-hmm. for all of us. You know, it really is. Anybody else want to share? I was really curious to see how things are going in the secret place. Did you want to say something else?
Well, since I get all these turns, that which is natural is temporary. That which is spiritual is eternal.
That's right.
The hardest thing to communicate, and I'm asking God's grace to do that as a teacher. People tend to think that when you talk about supernatural things or spiritual things, you're talking about some mist.
Right.
I'm telling you, the supernatural or the spiritual things are more real than mm-hmm. natural looking at your own hands and being here. I know you've flown airplanes. I know some of you have flown airplanes. But taxiing on the ground is natural. But that's a whole different element when you leave the ground and you are flying it in the air. Mm-hmm. That spiritual realm is more real than just taxiing on the ground.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It is. And you can see more too.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue, because when you can start seeing through the eyes of the Lord, you start seeing things so differently. And you see more and more. And you can pray more, you know, more effectively too. Anybody else want to share? How are you doing, Jane? Good. Mm-hmm. How about you, Scott? How are you doing?
All right.
Good. How about you, Michael?
I'm learning patience since, you know, well, I mentioned briefly that went out of the hospital. And I didn't have any patience because, I mean, I lashed out by at least 5 times. I can count and looking back at that. God's teaching me how to wait on him, to maybe just even just listen. Listening has been my thing the last 8 or 9 months. I've been learning how to hear his voice and not move on anything that is not his voice.
Right. Well, to me, the thing that when the Lord gave me this word in December, it was amazing how he just sat us all down and said, okay, you got time now. You know, for some people, it was busier, but it's a reset for everybody. And a lot of families had more time to come together, and a lot of people, Christians who knew what God was calling, had time to come into the secret place, and they knew God was calling that. And I just want to read it real quick again. Entering the secret place, I'm calling my people to a secret place in me to get to know me in a way they have not heretofore known me, saith the Lord. A place that's hidden under the shadow of my wings, as in the days of old, when my Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. So these are the days I am birthing sons. They will be ones who are hidden in me. And I truly believe that there are many times that we will be totally hidden from the darkness. In the natural.
Amen.
And I've experienced that a couple times. My hidden ones will do great exploits in times and a half by the leading of the Holy Spirit. They will be in every hill and valley, in the highways and byways, for my name's sake. and they will have my light, saith the Lord. So come, and be ye separate, and dwell in my presence, and take up the mantle I prepared for you. Dr. Tellers, would you mind defining what you think, how you see a mantle?
Probably the one that I gravitate to the most is when Saul, before he was anointed king, he went into the place of the prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord fell on him, and he began to prophesy, and he was changed into another man. The mantle in the natural was a physical thing.
Right.
In the spiritual, a mantle is something that you carry as a part of who you are. It's a part of what you are. It is so powerful that it carries into the supernatural too. How could they identify the difference between Moses and Elijah? I mean, did they go back 800 years to see Moses? And how did they know it was Moses? How did they know it was Elijah? Mm-hmm. I believe because of the mantle. They could tell. And the ambiance of Moses. There was no mistake about it.
I really think that we're all getting a greater anointing. Would you call it a new mantle?
The mantle by definition is an anointing.
Yes. I believe that God is getting ready to give us all a greater anointing. We're in the process of that now.
In the Old Testament, this is pseudepigrapha stuff, but they believe that they took the mantle that was given to Elisha, and they put it into the tabernacle of Moses. That's, you can't find it defined in the Old Testament. But it was very special to the children of Israel.
So my hidden ones will do great exploits in times and time and a half by the leading of the Holy Spirit. They will be in every hill and valley and in the highways and byways for my name's sake. They will have my light, saith the Lord. So come and be separate and dwell in my presence. Take up the mantle I have prepared for you. Become intimately acquainted with who I am and who you are with me. There's only one way to do that, and that is to dwell, it is to eat the Word and to really know Him through the Word, because the Word is Him. He is the Word. And that is... Yes.
Can I say one other thing about this mantle?
You may say whatever you like. This is discussion time of this. I really think this is important.
You have to ask for it.
Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't specify that Elijah asked for it, but somewhere, someplace he did ask for it. We know that Elijah asked for it.
Elijah wanted his mantle. He didn't want, he said, God, I don't want
it.
Is that what you mean?
More than that. Many people have come to us, or they've come to you, Pastor, and say, you know, I want to be a prophet, or I want to be a pastor, or I want to be a teacher. I really want that mantle. You ask for it. The fact that it's in your heart,
right?
If you pursue it, God will give it to you.
I agree. Somebody just asked me that today, as a matter of fact. That's why I was kind of
bringing it. And then when people come to you and you say, well, I want to be a prophet. I said, do you really? And there's what my problem is, because I'm sometimes overloaded. But you ask for it because it brings a comfort to your heart, something that's in your heart.
Anybody else want to make a comment? How about you here? You want to comment on mantle? What you see? Add anything?
No. Okay. I will say, though, that I did look up Elimelech.
You looked up what?
Elimelech.
Okay.
It means God is my king.
That's right, I remember.
Yeah.
I knew there was something significant there.
Well, I also looked up Naomi and Ruth, too. Naomi is my pleasantness.
Pleasant.
And then Ruth is satisfied. And then, of course, Naomi wanted to be bitterness after she had lost her king, just like Israel became bitter and has become bitter. A lot of Israel is very bitter against God. But it was when they received the promised son, when Naomi received the promised son, that she stopped going by Mara.
Right.
So that, I think you're absolutely right.
That makes, as a mother, that really, that was one of the most touching things to me that God did in the Bible, besides saving us all. But to give her that blessing of nursing her own grandson, that was just, I mean, if you didn't nurse, maybe you don't get it, but I don't know if it, did you nurse Sharon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an intimate thing, and the intimacy of the new and the old is coming together. Anyway, it says, "They will have light, saith the Lord. Come and be separate, dwell in my presence, take up the mantle I've prepared for you, and become intimately acquainted with who I am and who you are with me." I want to say that who we are and who I am, who he is to us and who we are to him, is integrally important that we understand that. And I think that that is the biggest thing that's a challenge for each of us, is to get into that understanding of who God really is and who he is in us and who we are. That is what I believe he's revealing now to us in the secret place. That is what's happening to what you're saying. That's what's happening, you know. He's everything to us. And to realize that we can depend on him for everything and to put down our own desires is just, it's such a peace. It is such a peaceful place. There are instructions and revelations you must receive. And now is the time of preparation as we meet together. Your lamps must be full. The oil will flow and your light will shine among men, drawing them to me. Yet many will be martyred for my name's sake in these last days. Now is the time my sons are being honed to perfection and my bride is being prepared. That is my prayer for this church. That we become intimately acquainted with who we are in him and who he is in us and who he is, knowing him intimately, not just knowing about him, not just knowing what he did, like with Moses and the children of Israel. Moses was acquainted with God's ways and who he was. The children were just acquainted with what they saw him do. We don't want to be only acquainted with that. We want to be acquainted with who he is. And that is the most important thing that I pray for this church, that we know who we really are and that we press in to say, "Lord, who do you say that I am?" And bring me into that place of who you say I am. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for taking us into a new place with you and giving us all new mantles. In Jesus' name.